Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara just finished off with the Braita yesterday. The Braita said, Tan Rabbanan, Mi Sheba V'Amar, when someone comes along and says, Gerani, that I am a Ger, Yochol Nikablenu, maybe we would accept him right away, Tamalomar Itecha, B'Muchzak Lecha. That he has to be someone that we have some sort of Chazakah that he is Jewish, or he has some sort of evidence to the fact that he converted. But ba ve'ida v'imo, and then if he comes with his witnesses with him, minayin, how do we know that works? Because the pasuk says, v'chi yaguri t'cha ger ba'aretzichem lo tonu oto. Ein li ela ba'aretz. Braita said that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It says, ba'aretzichem. So then, b'chutz la'aretz minayin, how do we know it applies in chutz la'aretz? Tamalomar, itcha b'chol makom shi'itcha. Anywhere you are. Imkein ma tamalomar ba'aretz. So then why does the pasuk segregate out or mention aretz separately? So, ba'aretz tzarich la'vi raya, b'chutz la'aretz ein tzarich la'vi raya, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says the difference is that inside of Eretz Yisrael you have to bring proof to the fact, and chutz la'aretz you don't have to bring proof to the fact. We discussed yesterday, Rashi says, mishum shevacho d'Eretz Yisrael, because living in Eretz Yisrael is unique, special, and people will be willing to lie in order to join the Jewish people when they're in Eretz Yisrael. Again, it's a phenomenon that actually takes place today, where there's incentive for someone to be Jewish to come to the land of Israel, whereas in Chutz La'aretz, there's no real incentive to be Jewish. But many people now coming here, which are brought in Aliyah, they escape from other places, then it's worth being Jewish, because you can get yourself out of these other places. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's position. Chamim Ramim, ben ba'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz, tzarich la'vi raya. That whether it's in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, you have to ring a raya. So now, according to the Chachamim, you have to ask, then why was Aretz specified? What was so particular that we mentioned Aretz, and then the difference between them? So that the Gemara will ask, coming up. So now, the Gemara says here, Bahu ve'eda bimo, he comes and his witnesses are with him, kra lomali, what do I need a pasuk for? If you come with witnesses, that's normal judicial process. When you have two witnesses, they're believed about anything. Of course he's believed that he's a ger if he has two witnesses. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me? Oh, if he comes with his witnesses, he's believed. Why wouldn't you believe him in that case? It's a hearsay type of thing where it's not that they're testifying that this guy converted, but rather we heard that he converted in that Beit Din. So that's enough evidence. We would think not to believe them because of the hearsay rather than direct evidence or direct witness. That we do believe him in that instance. And that's why the Edim help over here. As we discussed yesterday, this is all based on the fact that we know he's not Jewish. If we know he's not Jewish, then he's got to bring us evidence to the fact that he did convert because we have information and now he's got to counter that information. But if the only reason we know he's not Jewish is because he told us he's not Jewish, then he can also tell us that he converted. Because that's a pesha osur pesha hitir. The only reason we know that there's a problem here is because he said there's a problem. So then if he says that there's no problem, then we have to believe him. Migo, that if we don't believe him for the second piece, we won't believe him for the first piece. If we say we don't believe you about the conversion, don't believe him about the fact that he's saying he's not Jewish. The instance here must be a case where we know the information outside of him, and therefore he needs evidence to the fact that he is a ger. Ba'aretz, ein li ela ba'aretz, b'chutz la'aretz minayin, tamalomar itcha b'chol makom shi'itcha. Mar says, va'afikte. Wait a minute, you already used that. You already used itcha in the previous limud in the Braita that says, when he comes, you think you would accept him right away. It says, itcha b'muchzak lecha. You have to have some sort of chazaka, you have to have some sort of evidence to the fact that he's a ger. So you already used the word itcha. Then the Braita says again, oh, I would think just in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, itcha. Braita uses the word itcha twice. So Gemara says, chada mi'itcha, v'chada mi'imcha or mi'amecha. It's not clear what the pasuk is that the Gemara is quoting over here. If you see that Rashi quotes, ger v'toshav v'chayimach, Rashi quotes a totally different pasuk from a totally different location, which seems to be strange. The Gra alters the girsa and says that it's mi'itchem, that the word here should be mi'itchem, which actually does not appear in this pasuk. It's ki aguri itcha ger b'artzechem lo tonu oto, but in the subsequent pasuk, which is also talking about a ger, the word itchem is mentioned. And therefore the Gra says that it's chada mi'itcha v'chada mi'itchem. So that's the two, itcha and itchem. So itcha will be mukzak t'cha and itchem will be imachem. that'll be together with you anywhere that you are will accept gerim. Chachamim amrim ben baretz ben b'chutz laretz tzarich la'vi raya. Chachamim say that you have to bring a proof to this fact, whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, whether you're in chutz laretz. V'ha haktiv baretz. But what are you going to do? The Chachamim have to explain why the pasuk specifies aretz. At least according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a differentiation between aretz and chutz laretz. For the Chachamim, there's no differentiation. So why does the pasuk mention aretz? It says, "Help me, ba'alei dafilu ba'aretz mikablim geirim." That is so that even in Eretz Yisrael we accept geirim. It's the other way around. We would have thought we don't accept geirim in Eretz Yisrael. The sakadat chaminu mishum tivutu deretz Yisrael kamigairei. I would have thought it's because of the greatness of Eretz Yisrael that he wants to convert. V'hashtanami daleka tivuta. What about today? Today that tivuta doesn't exist. Rashi explains over here. Chzavat chalav udvash. Zvat Chalav Udvash was the nature, the character of Eretz Yisrael. And that's been nifsak, that's stopped. So maybe today you won't have that Havamino. So, okay, in the time when there's Zvat Chalav Udvash, you have a Havamino that Ba'aretz would be more appealing because of the Zvat Chalav Udvash. Now that the Zvat Chalav Udvash is gone, now again, maybe today it's returned, but at least when the Gemara is speaking that Eretz Yisrael lies mostly in ruins, and there is no Zvat Chalav Udvash, that Brocha is missing, then what do we say there? Is there any incentive to come to Eretz Yisrael? It says, yeah. Ika leket shechalpeo masirani. There is the social services that are provided here, the social safety net of leket shechalpeo masirani. I mean that in Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews lived there, there's a system by which people who are poor are supported and protected. That social net or safety net is there. So there is an appeal of being in Eretz Yisrael because you know there's somewhere to fall back on. There's something that, if things don't go well, you know that you're not going to be out on the street starving because there's this system of tzedakah and taking care of those that are less fortunate. So, kamash balon, that despite that, we still allow geirim in Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting. Tosafot over here says, en li baretz, perish de mekablim geirim. I would have thought in Eretz Yisrael, we mekabel geirim, afagav de chuvat agufi. Tosafot asks the basic question, why should there be any connection between Eretz Yisrael and Geirut, because the only times that we say that mitzvot hatvuyot ba'aretz, those are the mitzvot that only apply in the aretz, because they're not obligations on the individual, they're obligations associated with the land. This has nothing to do with the land, it's a mitzvah taguf. So by ribuya came into the chib ba'aretz. Says we need a ribuy because the pasuk uses ba'aretz. Alright, so since it uses it, inami, ba'aretz lo chashinan dilmei hadri buhu. So it says, maybe in Eretz Yisrael we don't worry about the fact that they'll back out of it. Shumdiika shvacha deretz Yisrael. So Tosfot says that we don't have to worry about the fact that a ger might back out or go back to suro hara, go back to his original way, because it's Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have that other side to it as well, which is that after someone converts, there's less likelihood that they will return to their old way. In Chutz Laaretz, there's more likelihood that they'll return. And therefore, the pasuk says, be'artzechem, to teach you that Be'eretz Yisrael, you can accept gerim, or it's more likely that you will accept gerim, because, right, they'll stay, they'll stick, versus Chutz La'aretz, where you need a ribuy to include them, because we're not as certain. So again, the way that the Gemara learns it in the end is that the Eretz Yisrael, actually we need the ribuy because we would have thought not. Either because they're going to lie, like Rabbi Yehuda says, and therefore you need a raya, or, according to the Chachamim, because we think that there are other ulterior motives, things that appeal from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they're going to do it. So that's why the pasuk mentions Aretz, and that's the difference between Aretz and Chutz Laaretz, that we still accept them in Eretz Yisrael despite that benefit. But if you look at just the Pashtuta pasuk that says it's only in Eretz Yisrael, why is it that you would give precedence to Geirut in Eretz Yisrael? The answer is because they'll stick. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, it's more likely that we will take Geirim because of that, versus in Chutz Laaretz, where there's a safek, whether it's going to regress back to the old way, and then maybe it's not worth taking gerim in Chutz Laaretz. So Tosfot explains the pasuk itself. Why does it mention Aretz? Not just because of the other way around that we differentiate with Chutz Laaretz, but also because Eretz Yisrael does have a maila in Geirut. Amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'av, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha, this is the halacha, ben baretz, ben b'chutz laaretz, tzarich la'vi raya. So the halacha is like the chachamim, that whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laaretz, you have to bring a raya. Gemara says, pshita. Why would you have thought otherwise? Here you have a machloket Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim. Halacha ke chachamim. Yachid v'rabim alocha k'rabim. Maudu teim mistaver time with the Rabbi Yehuda. Wait, we say, maybe Rabbi Yehuda makes sense. The Messiah lay cry. The Pasuk supports him, which is that the Pasuk seems to differentiate between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So since the Pasuk seems to support Rabbi Yehuda's position, he would have thought we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, despite the fact that there's Rabim cholek alav, kamash balan, that that's not the case, and we paskin like the Chachamim, like the Rabim over here. Tarabanan, ushvatetem tzedek ben ish uben achiv uben gero. This is one of the sukim that Tosafot brought in yesterday's daf about how do we know ger tzarich gimel, mishpat k'tiv be. So we brought two psukim where the word mishpat was used. This is one of the psukim that Tosafot brought, which is ushvatetem, tzedek ben ish uben achiv uben gero. So the word ger is mentioned in the pasuk of ushvatetem. So there's mishpat associated with ger. That's how we know you need three. Mikan, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ger shenit gair bebeitin, hari ze ger. Rabbi Yehuda proves from here and says that a ger that converts in front of a beitin, that's a ger. Beino leben atzmo, eino ger. If he did it privately, then he's not a ger. If he did his own conversion process, he's not a ger. A ger is someone who converts in front of a beitin. That's the requirement. Alright. Maise be'echad sheba lifnei Rabbi Yehuda. An individual came before Rabbi Yehuda. Va'amar lo nit gairti beni yehuda ben atzmi. Sure enough, I converted, but I just did it, you know, on my own. Didn't do it for a beitin. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, yesh lecha edim? Do you have witnesses? Amalei lav? He says, no. Yesh lecha banim? Amalei hein? He says, yeah, I do have children. All right, we'll go through part of the Gemara, then we'll talk about some of the questions there. Amalei, ne'man ata lifsol et atzmecha. You have the ability to be posel yourself. V'ata ne'man lifsol et banecha. But you do not have the right to be posel your children. So, mi amar Rabbi Yehuda banim lo mehemen. Wait a minute, is a father not believed with regards to his children? V'atanya, we have a braita. Yakir, Yakir is written in Parshat Ki Tetze with regards to after the Parsha Yifat Toar, then you have the Parsha of lo yakir et ben ahuval pnei ben asnua. He's not allowed to favor the love child over the bechor. So over there it says yakir, that the father can identify the bechor. Yakirenu l'achirim. He has the right, the father has a right to declare that this child is the bechor. Mikana Rabbi Yehuda, neman adan lamar ze bni bechor. Person's believed to say, this is my eldest child. Ukashem sh'neman lamar ze bni bechor. Just like he's believed to say, this is the bechor. Kach neman lamar bni ze ben grushahu uben chalutzahu. You can also say that his child is a ben grusha, ben chalutza. I mean, I married a chalutza or grusha. That means that he's a chalal, and he's a kohen chalal. So here he's believed. Chumim amim, enu ne'eman. Chumim says he's not believed. But as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, he is believed. The father is believed vis-a-vis the children. So the father is believed vis-a-vis the children with regards to making them psulim. Over here, ben grusha, ben chalutza is pasul. It's not just yakir about the bechor, which is a positive statement. Even in a negative statement, he's believed. So Amar Rav Nachum Vayitzchak, Chaka Gamalei. He says, this is what he said to him. Lidvarecha, according to your words, Ovei Kochavim Ata. You're not Jewish. Ve'nedut, Ovei Kochavim. And since non-Jews don't have ne'manut in terms of edut, you can't testify about your children. All right, we'll come back and discuss all of these issues. Ravina Amar, Chaka Gamalei. Ravina says, no, this is what he said to him. Yesh lecha banim. He said, yes, hein. Yesh lecha bnei banim. You have grandchildren, hein. Amalei, ne'eman ata lifsol b'necha, you're believed to be posel your children, v'ata ne'eman lifsol b'nei b'necha, but you don't have a right to be posel your grandchildren. Tanya nami ochi, we have a braita that supports this. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, now Tosafot reads the previous statement like the braita, which is that, ne'eman ata lomar al b'no katan, v'enu ne'eman al b'no gadol. He's believed about his child who's a katan. Normally you would translate katan as a minor, and gadol as someone who is of age. That's not what the braita means. Katan here does not mean a minor, but gadol mamash. A gadol here does not mean of age. Katan banim ze gadol. A katan who has children, that is considered to be a gadol. Gadol vein lo banim ze katan. Someone who's a gadol doesn't have children, he's a katan, meaning that play grandchildren are the determining factor. But the way Tosafot explains it over here is, if there are grandchildren, not only is he not believed regarding the grandchildren, he's also not believed regarding the children. And if he has no grandchildren, then he's believed regarding his children. So that's the differentiation here. If there are grandchildren here, he doesn't have the right to be posel his grandchildren. So since he has the right to be posel his grandchildren, by definition he can't be posel his child, because if he's posel his child, it would be posel the grandchildren. So he's not believed regarding either. That's the way Tosafot reads it. There are those that disagree and say, no, he can be Posel's child, he just can't be Posel's grandchild. But the way Tosfos reads it simpler, which is that he's only believed regarding himself, not regards to his grandchildren. Therefore, if there are grandchildren, he's not believed regarding to his child. But if he doesn't have grandchildren, then he is believed regarding his children. The Locha is like Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak's explanation over here, that he is not believed regards to his children. Didn't we just bring a Braita that supported Ravina's explanation? That Braita was only with regards to the issue of Yakir. I mean that the Braita is that a person can say that I'm neman about a Bechor, and I'm neman about Ben Grusha or Ben Chalutza, that he's believed about. But in this case over here, but the case where he says that I was not Jewish, he's not able to then discredit his children in that situation. Right, so now there are a number of issues here in the sugya. Tosafot brings up most of the issues, but that are dealt with by the Rishonim, which is one is, Rabbi Yehuda does not believe in Palginan Dibura. He does not believe in the bifurcation of a statement. So over here, how does it work that he can testify about himself, and we believe him about himself, and then he can't testify about his children? I mean, that's basically what we're doing, Palginan Dibura. So if he's working mitzadei dut, then how does it work over here? That's number one. Number two is, if we do in the end say that what he's believed in terms of his ne'aman to make himself into a goy, that means that we do believe him. He's giving edut. Even if the edut is about himself, we're believing him about himself, but it's circular. Because if we say, he testifies himself not Jewish. So we say, okay, we believe you're not Jewish, now you can't testify about your children. But if he's not Jewish, he can't testify about himself as well. So how does he make himself not Jewish by testifying about himself? So Tosafot says here, he says that the only way this works on a principle that we find other places in Shas, which is that if you make yourself into a chaticha shel isura, you made yourself asur. Which is, for instance, if you have a piece of meat that one says, and you come along and you say that the piece of meat is a nevela. So now, even if we don't believe you, for whatever reason we don't believe you, for you, that piece of meat is nevela, because you made it into a isura. You made it into a problem. Now, it's true also, the Gemara brings us up in relationships. If a person says about a woman something, and again, we don't believe him with regards for other people, but for himself, he will not allow to be with that woman because he made her into a chaticha shel isura. So here also, when he says that I'm not Jewish, he made himself into a chaticha isura. It's not through nemanut that we believe him over here and say, oh, he testified himself, he's not Jewish. He's not Jewish because he made himself into a non-Jew. He declared about himself, and for his own purposes, he's now known Jewish. And that's why he's believed regarding himself. It's not through edut. It's not through nemanut. It's because he's meshavi nafshei chaticha isura. Aval im ba'al bat kohen lo pasla. But if he affects other people, for instance, he goes in and he has a relationship with a bat kohen, which would make her into a psula now, make her into a zona, and she wouldn't be able to marry a kohen, because he's not a kasher anymore. So there he wouldn't be posel her, because he's not believed vis-a-vis other people. So for other people, he's not believed. For himself, he is believed. And that's how Tosfos differentiates over here, that it's not through ne'manut, it is through meshavi nafshei chaticha deisura, which means he can only impact himself, he cannot impact anyone else. And that's how this functions, and that's why you don't have to worry. If he's not Jewish, that's right. You're not believed about yourself, you're not believed about anybody else. The reason now you're not Jewish is because you made yourself into a piece of nevela, meaning that you made yourself into a goy. And now you have to deal with the fact that you made yourself into a goy. Now, he asks, Vim tomar hechidomi. So then, on top of that says, what's the case over here? Because over here, he says, okay, he makes himself into a goy. Great. Why is he posel his children by making himself into a goy? He's married to a Bat Yisrael. He's married to a Jewish woman. So he makes himself into a goy. We just had two dapim worth of situations in which we say that it's kasher. Bat Yisrael with a goy is kasher. So the Tosfos said, maybe he's a pogum. Right, maybe he's a pogum. It says, nah. Because Rabbi Yehuda himself believes that even a ger tzedek that is born from a ger and a gioret, that individual is a pogum lekuna. So of course over here, this person is pagum lekihuna. So that can't be the ne'manut that we're speaking about over here. Or, v'yesh lomar, the kasava Rabbi Yehuda, ovi kochavim evet abal bat yisrael vlad mamzer. The Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Akiva's position that it is a mamzer. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda said that he's ne'man about himself, not about his children, because according to him, l'shitato, Rabbi Yehuda would have believed the children were mamzerim. And that's what he says he's not believed. So that's the two answers that Tosfos gives over here is what his impact is. The last thing is, another problem here is that he says, Eish lecha edim. Do you have edim? Do you have witnesses? So it says, Tema. First of all, what do witnesses do? Because number one, witnesses are only two. You need a Beit Din of three in order to convert. So why do witnesses help you over here? Tosfos says, maybe that's only the chatchila, but bidyavad, we would accept it even if it was just two. He says, that's number one. And then number two is, he says, Im kemi yishol edim, la beno leben atzmohu. If there were witnesses, then it wasn't beno leben atzmo. So it says, what's going on over here? What does he mean, beno leben atzmo? If there are witnesses here, then it wasn't beno leben atzmo. So he's asking for witnesses, then why did he tell him? I just did it by myself. He didn't do it by himself, he had two witnesses over there. So that's maybe... So Tosfot says that it's not so clear what he means when he's asking for edim over here. If he did it, the ben ol, the ben atzmo, then of course there are no edim over here. So I don't know if Reb Yehuda is just trying to point out that l'shitato, that it doesn't work, and that's why he's saying there are no edim over here. Of course there are no edim, because then it wouldn't have been ben ol, the ben atzmo. Some like the Ramban proved from here that you actually need three, and that was the problem, because even if he had edim, it wouldn't have helped him. That would still be considered to be ben ol, the ben atzmo, until he had three there. And based on what we saw in the Tosafot yesterday, that a Pesha Asur, a Pesha Hitir, he was actually asking for Edim that he was a goy. Because as far as we're concerned, he was Muchzak to as being a Jew to us. And he can't undermine that Chazakah without Edim. At least vis-a-vis his children. Now, how is he believed? The last thing we have to understand is, why is a father believed to say his child is a Ben Gushan, Ben Chalutza? By a Bechor, it says Yakir. And that the Parsha is talking about a Bechor. So that's how a Yuneman over there. Why Yuneman to say that they are Psulim? So Rabbi Eliyahu miPariz miFresh, Nafkalan miChtiv, Ben Asnua Yakir. So there he says, the Ben Asnua Yakir. He can tell you who the Ben Asnua is. And why is he Ben Asnua? Because he's not a Kasher. He's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. He says that's also the way the Yushalmi explains it. But he says, our Gemara here doesn't seem to say that. Our Gemara seems to say, Kishem Shineman Adam Lamar Zebni Bechor. That means that just like he's believed by Bechor, so too he's believed over here. So therefore, it doesn't sound like that. Limud v'ish mefarshim, the time of Rebbe Moshe Malei Kra, the Neman Adam Lamar Zebni Bechor, afilu al tinok ben abanim. So what he says is that Rabbi Yehuda, what happens if the guy comes along and says that my youngest child is the Bechor? What are the implications of the fact that he said his youngest child is the Bechor? Now, if he tells us his oldest child is the Bechor, one of the children is the Bechor, fine. But if he tells us his youngest child is Bechor, the implications for the children beforehand are serious, which are basically the older children are Mamzerim. They weren't born. They were born from extramarital affairs. They weren't my Bechor. That's not my Bechor. So the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says that he's Neman to say that the youngest child is a Bechor shows you that he's Neman to be post-sell the other children. And through that, that's how we learn out that he has a right to say Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, because if he declares one of them Bechor, that has impact on the other children or the status of the other children because of that. Right, so these are things that come out of our Gemara over here. So now we say that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, Liba, the Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, which means that he is believed regarding himself, he's not believed regarding his children, and that's by a Goy. Whereas Hakarat Bechor, Hikiar Bechor, there we say that question mark. Do we say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda over there? That's a question. The Shiltot passes like Rabbi Yehuda across the board. He's not believed by Chalak Bechor, but he says, it says, by Bechor, Yakir, you're believed. And so therefore, if he's Jewish and he has Ne'manut, then he's believed about the Bechor and about Ben Grusha and Ben Chalutza as well. So that's a question. When we say the Halacha here is like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, how much does that mean the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda over here? Does that mean just in the case of Goy, the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Or even in the Braita that we brought, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak explains that Braita to mean that's Yakir by Bechor and Ben Grusha and Chalutza. Do we also say the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda there? And that's a machloket rishonim as how to paskin with regards to that matter. Right now, Tana Rabbanan. Ger Sheba Lehitkayer Bezman Hazeh. A ger that comes today to convert. Omrim lo, Ma Ra'ita Sheba Lehitkayer. Why are you coming to convert? Iyata yodea shiyisrael b'zman hazeh dvuyim, dechufim, schufim, maturafim, yisurim ba'im aleihem. The status of Jews today and our standing amongst the nations isn't so good right now. We're dvuyim, downtrodden, dechufim, pushed off, schufim, shfelim. We're like at the bottom of the ladder. Turafim, we're torn up, meaning we're attacked, visurim ba'im aleim. There's not much good here. Why would you come to do this? Im omer yo de'ani. If he says, I know, ve'ini kedai. And I'm not even worthy of being a Jew and accepting that, all those tzarot that the Jews get, I'm not even worthy of that. So then, mekablin oto miyad. We accept him right away. Meaning that he sees it as a milah of the Jews. The fact that the Jews are persecuted is because Hashem is intervening and persecuting them so that their reward, the Olam Haba, will be better, or that's part of the punishment of the Galut. He sees this as a positive aspect, not a negative aspect, and he says, if I was only Kedai to be a part of that. That's how he's expressing it. So, right away we accept him. Umodin oto miktzat mitzvot kalot, umiktzat mitzvot chamurot. We explain to him some of the light mitzvot and some of the more serious mitzvot. Now, why would you tell him about the light mitzvot and not just the mitzvot chamurot? The mitzvot chamurot, right, so you could say it's just like from A to Z. A to Z, I mean, we give him some of the little ones, some of the big ones, and that's why he knows it's like a basically saying, we'll give you a little sample of this, a little sample of that, and that gives you a statistical sample of all the mitzvot. Then you could argue. The Meiri suggests over here that mitzvot kalot, because in most other religions, we look at the religious experience as being the macro. I mean that if you generally do what you're supposed to do and you say the things you're supposed to do, it's okay. The little details aren't so important. The Yadut is different, and Yadut says that the halacha not only dictates the more general picture, it also dictates down to the details of one's life. And even the small things, halacha has something to say about it, and you have to be makpid even on the small things. So this is a change for him, and that's why we mentioned mitzvot kalot here, to indicate to him the type of mitzvot that he's going to have to deal with. Little details or little things about his life, he's going to have to deal with now. We tell him about the sin of not giving leket shicha peyo maser ani. The Gemara will discuss this later. And we tell him the punishment for mitzvot. It's a very, very long braita. The Gemara will come back in the end and discuss it, but extremely long braita. Then, umrim lo, evi yodeya, ajlo bato, lemidazu. Before you entered into being Jewish, achalta chelev, iata onosh karet. If you eat chelev, no punishment of karet. Chilalta shabbat, you violate the shabbat, iata onosh skila. There's no punishment skila. Achshav, achalta chelev, now you eat chelev, anush karet. You're gonna be punished with karet. Chilalta shabbat, anush skila. And this is serious business here, you're getting involved. You know, before you have no obligations. Now all of a sudden you can have a lot of obligations. And those obligations aren't just obligations, they're obligations that have repercussions to them. They're gonna be punished. Just like we tell them about the punishment, we also tell them about the reward. We don't only tell them the negative, we tell them that privilege comes with responsibility. So you want the privilege of being a Jew, you have responsibility. You want responsibility, responsibility comes with repercussions, both to the bad and to the good. So yeah, Omrim lo, have you there? Sholam haba in asui le tzadikim. That Olam haba is for the tzadikim. Yisrael b'zman hazeh inam yucholim lekabel. And Jews today cannot lo rov tova v'lo rov puranut. Jews can't get too much good and they can't get too much bad. Rashi explains here, what is lo rov tova? Lefish yitzara mechazer achrem. The yitzara is over them all the time, so they're never successful at really getting back to the really good times. And lo puranut, God will not wipe them out entirely. God's not going to eliminate them. The Jews have a promise, unlike other nations where Hashem will wipe them out. The Jews have a promise that they'll be around and we won't be wiped out completely. So even though there might be major puranut, it still will not end with the annihilation of the nation of Israel. We also saw back, if you remember in the Gemara Chagiga, that lo matzah karsh baruch hu midah tova l'Yisrael ela aniyut, that poverty was the thing that was good for the Jews. So also that, lo rov tovav, lo puranut, which is the same idea, that Hashem can't give too much good or too much wealth to them because then the Yetzer Hara intervenes and makes it problematic. So therefore, you're not going to end up with too much good or too much bad. Vein marbim alav, we don't push on him too hard, meaning that we create a certain amount of fear, or instill a certain amount of fear in him, but we don't press. We don't put so much pressure on him to back away. Vein medaktegim alav, and we're not so medaktek. We try to give him the basics and the big old things, and then we deal with it. We're not nitpicking on him about this stuff. Then, kibel, if he accepts it, malino tomiyad, we give him mila right away. So if he accepts the mitzvot, he accepts what we're saying, and he says he's willing to go through with it, then we give him a mila right away. Nishtairobo tzitzina me'akvim et amila, if he has shreds of skin that are left over that are me'akiv amila, chozrin umalino toshnia, then you go back and finish off the mila. I mean, this milah is no different than the milah of a ben shmona that has to be done properly. And if there's anything left over, you have to go back for it. Now, nitrapeh, once he has healed, matbinin oto miyad. then you put him in the mikveh right away. This goes back to the discussion we had yesterday with the ger shemal velotaval. What do you mean mal velotaval? Here is the evidence in the Gemara that you wait for him to go to tevila because you wait for him to be nitrapeh, to be healed. So again, we talked about the Tashbates who said that you shouldn't give a ger a mila on Thursday because then Yom Shlishi the mila will turn out to be on Shabbat. And then you have to be doche Shabbat possibly for him. And then number two is we see that there is some sort of delay between mila to tevila where the ger will be in this limbo status of being mal velo taval. Tosafot over here says, the Ramban disagrees with Tosafot, but Tosafot over here says, you see from this Gemara, Shemashu mila called him the tevila. The mila has to be done before tevila. There's no evidence anywhere, there's no reason to believe that you have to do mila before tevila. You should be able to do tevila and then do mila. Each one of them is a separate issue, and you should be able to, why don't you just go to the mikveh? Right, so then you won't have to wait. That's exactly what the Ramban says, much better. Do it before. So Ramban says that you could do tevila first, and he brings proof to it, but even the proof that Tosafot mentions over here, if Tosafot rejects that proof, but the Ramban holds to that proof, nevertheless, most reject this position of the Ramban and say you have to do mila first, and then tevila. Now it might make sense, according to what we said yesterday, that they are mila and tevila are about two different aspects of Kabbalat the mitzvot or Kabbalat Judaism, which is that the mila is to enter into the covenant of Avraham Avinu, and the tevila is Kabbalat Olam mitzvot of Har Sinai. So you want to do it in order. You first want to have the Brit mila, which is the covenant of Avraham, which is the core, the base covenant of being a Jew, which is once you are a Jew, you're always a Jew. And then Kabbalat Olam mitzvot is that extra layer on top of that. If you do the mitzvot, then you also have Nemanut, you have certain other status, and Hashrat HaShchinah, all those things that happen, so that you want to do an order. First Mila, then Tevila. But we don't have any, besides this Braita, we don't have evidence of the fact that that one has to precede the other. Nitrapeh, once he's healed, Matbilin Oto Miyad, we put him in the mikveh right away. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Omdim Al Gavav, two Talmidei Chachamim stand there, Omodin Oto Mitzat Mitzvot Kalot, Mitzvat Mitzvot Chomerot. And then they tell him the basic mitzvot. Tell him here is because he has to have Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot in the Tevila. So he accepts the mitzvot as part of the process of the tevila. So that's the completion of the gerut. So they have to tell him again here because of a time of the tevila, because that's the kabbalat mitzvot at the time of the tevila. Taval viala harihu kisrael dechod varav. Once he comes out of the mikveh, he's Jewish. Isha, what about a woman? Nashim moshivot uto b'mayim ad savara. Women put her into the water, or help her into the mikveh until up to her neck in water. This is what we mentioned before. You have the two Talmidei Chachamim right outside. And then they do the Kabbalat Ol Mitzvot. Echad ger ve'echad eved mishuchrar. The same din applies to a ger as well as an eved knani that you are freeing. Umakom shinida tovelet sham ger ve'eved mishuchrar tovlim. And the same place that you do the tevila for a nido, that's the same place that you do a tevila for a ger, and the same place you do a tevila for an eved mishuchrar, meaning that you need arbaim, so now you need a kosher mikveh. V'chol davar shechotzeitz b'tevila, anything that's a chatzitza in tevila, chotzeitz b'geru v'eved mishuchrar u'menida. Anything that's a chatzitza for tevila by tuman tara also applies to a ger, an eved mishuchrar, and a nida. All of those dinim apply to them in terms of chatzitzot. So there are a number of things here. The Gemara will address some of them. First of all, why are there only two Talmidei Chachamim over here? Until now, we discussed that you need three and not two. That the Gemara will take up. Number two is the Eved Mishuchrar. The freed slave, why does he need to go to the mikveh? If you remember yesterday, we dealt with how does the Eved Kenani become an Eved Kenani? We stick him in the mikveh. And he gets a milah. He already has a Brit milah. He goes into the mikveh. Why isn't that sufficient that when he is Mishuchrar, once you free him, that he automatically becomes a Jew? He's already undergone the process of tevila and mila. We don't make him do another mila. He was forced to take on the mitzvah, but that might be the answer. Tosafot over here says, from our Gemara, it seems clear that he has to go to the mikveh again, even though, again, we don't find any evidence of the fact that an Eved Mishuchrash has to go to the mikveh again, because he already went. He had a mila already, he has a tevila already. He should be fine. Mishuchrash should be done. Why does he have to do a tevila again? So it might be, I think, along the lines of what you're suggesting, Fred, which is, that the original tefila was done by Korcho. If you remember, you had to force him into the water because there, it was, he didn't want him to free himself. But also, he was forced to keep the mitzvot because of Adon. When he goes free now, he has to have another kabbalot ol mitzvot along the lines of a willing, free choice type of acceptance of the mitzvot. And maybe that's why we require a second tefila again to have him be that he has another kabbalot ol mitzvot in that tefila. Again, even though Kabbalah Torah Mitzvot is not mentioned here, but maybe that's what the Gemara is hinting at. All right, now, in terms of what we need to learn for a Nidah, it's clear that a Nidah, the Parsha of a Nidah in the Torah, is the same as Tumah and Tahara, because they're in the same Parshiot. Question is, over here, what is being suggested that the Nidah needs to learn Chatzitza from Tumah and Tahara? So what Tosafot suggests over here is that there are many things in terms of Chatzitzot that are Derabanan. Most of what we deal with today in Chatzitza is a Din Derabanan. So it says, what the Gemara is saying over here is that Nidah has the same rules as Tumah and Tahara. So just like by Tumah and Tahara, they're Dinim Doraita and they're Dinim Derabanan, so too by Nidah, the same Dinim will apply. The Dinim Doraita and the Dinim Derabanan. So Dinim Derabanan that apply by Tumah and Tahara, we effectuate by the Nidah as well. And again, today, most of the issues in terms of Chatzitza that we deal with are problems of Dinei Derabanan. They're Otu. Because you need Rov and Makpid in order for it to be problematic, Midoraita, in terms of a Chatzitza, which is very unusual. Some poskim say it only has to do with their hair, not just their whole body. But even if it's their hair, to have something that's Rov and Makpid is very unusual. And therefore, most of the times we're dealing with Gezeira Derabanan, which is it's either Rov or Makpid. And because of that, we say that it's a problem of Chatzitza. So, but that comes out of this here, that we compare the Nidah to Tumah and Tahara. And so too, just like all the rules of Chatzitza apply by Tumah and Tahara, they also apply to the Nidah over here. Tosafot also points out here that the Gemara says here, by the conversion, you have to go to the mikveh and get a tevila like a Nidah. The only problem is that the Torah never says that a Nidah needs a tevila. The Torah never mentions that a Nidah needs a tevila. So how do we know that a Nidah needs a tevila? So then Tosafot brings down, Rabbi Yehuda Gaon says that we learn it out of a Kal v'chomer mimaga. When she touches something, she causes that have to go to the mikveh. So certainly she will have to go to the mikveh. So when she touches something, that has to go to the mikveh. Rabbeinu Tam says, because the pasuk says, ach b'mei nidah yitzchata. What does it mean, b'mei nidah? Mei nidah is a description of a mikveh. So why is it called mei nidah? Well, it must be the mayim that the nidah goes into. It must be the mikveh that the nidah goes into it. And then Rabbi Yitzchak Perish, that we nafka mihadar shinan b'pem lakisha tiyeh b'nidata. Tiyeh b'nidata shetuvo b'mayim. That she's nidah until she goes into the water. Then the Tosfot Yishanim brings down two more possibilities. One is a kal v'chomer, because it says yichabes bigadav, that the boel has to put his clothing into the mikveh. Then certainly the nidah herself has to go into the mikveh. Or because it says umazeh mei nidah. Mikan the nidah shetzricha mayim. So again, also again, mei nidah. So over there again, mayim and nidah are associated with each other. So here, it's all five different approaches to find out that a nidah needs to go to the mikveh, because it's not explicit in the Torah. Although the bright over here is saying, oh, just like a nidah goes to the mikveh, so too a ger goes into the same mikveh. Even though we don't have an explicit pasuk about nidah, here the Rishonim are dealing, what's the source for the fact that the nidah goes into the mikveh? Right now, the Gemara goes back now and says, Amar Mar. We're going back and investigating the Braita. Ger Shabbat Itkayer, Umnimlo, Mara Ita Shabbat Itkayer, Modin Oto Mitzvat Mitzvot Kalot, Mitzvat Mitzvot Chamurot. My Taima. Why do we do this? Why do we tell him all the Mitzvot? De'i Parish Nifrosh. Because if he leaves, he leaves. I mean, this is our attempt to dissuade him from becoming a Ger. Not to proselytize to him that he should become a Ger, but rather to dissuade him, realize that there are huge responsibilities. And so we give him things that would, in a sense, dissuade him. Again, based on the Meiri, it makes sense. First of all, we tell him things that are severe and things that are very difficult. So that's one thing that would dissuade him. We also tell him detailed types of items, minutia that you're going to have to keep, that also might dissuade him. So both of those items we present to him, trying to dissuade him. Damrei b'chelbo, kashim gerim l'Yisrael kesapachat. That gerim are problematic too, b'nei Yisrael, like a sapacha. Like se'et and sapacha that is found in the parsha of Mitzorah. So it's a sore, a wound, tichtiv, nilvei ger lehem v'nispechu al beit Yaakov. That the ger will join them, and then they'll become a sapachat. Sapachat in modern Hebrew means like an afterword, an addition, or an appendix. So the nispechu al beit Yaakov, and they'll be like addition onto beit Yaakov, that they will not be fully integrated. They'll be like an appendage on the side. And the Gemara over here translates sapach instead of being an addition in the positive light as being a sapach, like sapachat in the negative light. The question is, what does it mean? Kashim Yisrael ke sapachat. Most Rishonim here read it as being negative. Tosafot here brings explanations, and then the Tosafot Yishanim brings an additional explanation. Tosafot says, Lefi Shem Bikim B'Dikteya Mitzvot. They're not so familiar with all the minutia of the halacha. And therefore, Yisrael made them in Masehem. And then Jews see what they're doing, and then they end up copying them because they don't have the full grasp of the halacha. Number two is Rashi, Perish Bakuntris. Rashi explains in another way, which is Meshul Mikol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. El Yisrael are responsible one for the other. If that's the case, if they don't perform the mitzvot, we're going to be responsible for the fact that they don't perform the mitzvot. So it's a problem of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazeh. Tosfot rejects that because he's not sure if there's a Arevut by Gerim. A Arevut might only pour it to Kor Klali, so it might not apply to Gerim because Tosfot discusses the fact that the Eruv Rav were not considered part of the Arevim Zelazeh. Ve'od Yesh Lomari brings a third reason, which is, Lefish mit arvim behen, ve'in shechina shurai ala mishpachot ha-miuchasot. And he says, because they get mixed up amongst the Jews, meaning they marry in, and Hashem only has shurei shechina and mishpachot that are miuchas, that have a lineage, a strong lineage. Ve'yesh mefarshim, Lefish biyoter uzer Yisrael ha-gerim, ve'in yuchnim lezer me'onatan. Problem is that the Torah warns so many times about afflicting or causing any difficulty to the ger. And because Bnei Yisrael have to be so careful about this, it's impossible that they won't come to anata ger. They're not the problem. It's just that they facilitate a problem, which is that people are not going to be able to deal with them properly. And then they're going to be held accountable because they didn't treat the ger properly.
The Rambam writes that the problem here is that they might go back to their old ways. And in going back in their old ways, they're going to cause a problem for Klal Yisrael because they're going to cause Hashchatat Bnei Yisrael, just like the Erev Rav caused a problem for the Jews by the Egel. There is a Tosafot in Kiddushin who says that the Gemara there suggests that why were the Jews put into Galut? It was so that they can gather up all the converts, all the Gerim that are Ben Umot. So the reason that we are in Galut is so that we can get all the Gerim. So it turns out that the Gerim are causing the Galut to be extended.
Then the Tosfot Yishani brings another reason, which is V'od Yesh Mefarshim, the fish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Manish Otam Al Yadam. Shem punishes us because of them. Rav Avraham Ager, I think, is the author of this position. This is interesting. Avraham Ager is about this position, but it's a beautiful way to look at it, and it has a lot of truth to it. He says, because Bnei Yisrael will get punished by them. Kishmei Tivim Ma'asehem. When they do good, we're not taking the mitzvot like they are. You're Jewish your whole life. Here, this ger comes in, and he joins now, and he does these mitzvot, and he does them so. He's so excited about the mitzvot, does all these things with such gusto, excitement. Even though he doesn't come from a lineage of Jews, yet his practice of mitzvot is on a better level than ours. So it actually casts a negative light on us, casts aspersion on us, like the way the Mefreshim explained by Yonah. But Yonah didn't want to go save Nineveh because it would reflect negatively on the Jews. Nineveh, the city, does tshuva and the Jews are unwilling to do tshuva. So same thing over here. This ger acts in such a great way. And meantime, we who are always religious and always have been keeping the mitzvot, we're not as good as this ger that's been converted. So that's how it creates a problem for Klal Yisrael, because it casts a negative light on them by the performance of the mitzvot by the gerim. So that's a positive way to look at this, kisapachat, although Tosafot again before brought four different ways to look at it that were negative, and here you have Tosafot Yishanim quoting this one more positive way to look at it, and happens to be that this has a lot of truth to it, that their excitement in mitzvot and their diktukai mitzvot is much higher because they came to it much later, they came to it willingly. And it's obviously a Musar Haskel for us to always look to these people, whether they are Bali Tshuva or people that are gerim, because they bring a certain amount of excitement to the mitzvot that sometimes people who have kept mitzvot their whole life don't have. And therefore we should learn from them and take that excitement that they have and infuse that excitement into our kiyuma mitzvot and kiyuma Torah. All right, now, umodim otano avon leket shechah upeyah umaserani. Tell me about the sin of leket shechah upeyah umaserani. My time, I'm Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Noach ne'erag al pachot misha v'pruta. Ben Noach gets killed for less than a shavaputa, v'loni tana hiya shavon, and it's not able to be returned. This has to do with gzela. Gzela is one of the shiva mitzvah b'nei Noach. And the shiva mitzvah b'nei Noach, number one, you punish without hatra'ah, without warning. You don't need the hatra'ah like we have by the death penalty in a Jewish judicial system. But there you don't require hatra'ah. Number two is that by a Jew, you have to steal more than a pruta. Because less than a pruta, there's mechila on less than a pruta. But by non-Jews, they're makpidim, even on less than a pruta. And therefore, Ben Noach steals less than a pruta, it's considered to be gezel. Number two is, the pasuk of Eshivet to Gezeilah, Asher Gazal, is only said to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael have the ability to return the stolen item in order to rectify the situation. That is not said by the mitzvot Bnei Noach. And therefore, by Ben Noach, Once you've stolen, you're up the creek because there's no way to return it. You're going to be punished. Now, Rashi brings two explanations to this. The first explanation he brings down is that this guy is going to come and see people taking leket, shichan, peyah, and he's going to think they're stealing from his field. And he's going to go out and kill them because he's even less than a pruta. He's going to go out and kill them. He's going to be a vigilante about this. That's Rashi's first explanation. It's a very difficult explanation because of the word avon. It says you tell him the sin of leket, shichan, peyah. Over here, it's not the sin. You're telling him about leket, shichan, peyah, so he doesn't make a mistake and be a vigilante and kill them for stealing. So he doesn't make the mistake, oh, this is Dine B'nai Noach, then you get killed for stealing, even less than a pruta. So Rashi brings the second din of Avon, which is, the non-Jews are so makbid mamon that they're not even mochel by less than a shove pruta, and now we're telling him that he's going to have to give up pieces of his field. You're telling him that you're going to have basically enforced stucco or charity. You know, before they were very makbid, they don't give so much charity. All of a sudden now, they want to impose that he gives charity. So that being made something that would turn him away. This is part of the mitzvot kamurot, the mitzvot kalot, that you explain to him in order to say, maybe you don't want to do this because now you're going to have mandatory stakar deductions from your earnings in order to give it stakar. So that's why he says, Shema yachzor bo mitzkeir. He says, Lashon zeikar. Rashi says that's the better explanation of this. We don't push too hard. And we don't get into minutia with it. Remember, Rabbi Elazar, my Korah, what's the pasuk? Tichtiv, it says by Naomi and Ruth, Vatera ki mit ametzit hi lalechet ita, vatachta ledaber eleha. She saw that she was pushing to go with her, that she was assertive that she wanted to go, vatachta ledaber eleha, she stopped trying to dissuade her. She pulled away. At a certain point, she realized that she had the impetus to go and she wanted to go and she wasn't going to back away, then she backed away. Then Naomi backed away. Amrala Asir Lan Tchum Shabbat. So now the Gemara says, what are the psukim there by Ruth and Naomi? What is she telling her? The Gemara is telling her, she's telling her Kulot and Chamurot. That's exactly what she was doing. She says, we have Tchum Shabbat. She says, Bashir Telchi Elech, wherever you go, I go. So this is one of the mitzvot Kalot, is Tchum Shabbat. Asir Lan Yichud. You're not allowed to be alone with another man. So Bashir Talini Alin, wherever you sleep, I will sleep. We are commanded in 613 mitzvot. By the way, 613 does not appear so often in the Gemara and Chazal. Here's one of the places that it is, that there are 613 mitzvot. We are commanded in 613 mitzvot. She says, Ameich Ami. Your nation is my nation. Happens to be an interesting line over here because, especially with a woman, she's not commanded on 613 mitzvot. But rather, there's a certain amount of erivut that comes here that allows us to accomplish mitzvot and take responsibility for others. So she says, Ameich Ami. What's her answer there? Your nation is my nation. I mean that, I understand that we're part of a greater whole. It's not just about the individual. Asir lan avodat kochavim. You can't worship avodah zarah. She says, Elokayech, Elokai. Your God is my God. Now, Ben Noach is also restricted in avodah zarah. So what was the chaf here that he had avodah zarah? So Beer discusses, maybe there are things that they added on that are true by a Jew and they're not true by a Ben Noach. For instance, maybe just chibuk and nishuk are problematic for Jews. Other things that are extended, shituf and avodah zarah, those things are, again, by Jews are there, they're not necessarily there by non-Jews. Arba mitot nimtzru lebeitin. There are four death penalties that are given to beitin. Bashir tamuti amut. Wherever you die, I die, except that there are these severe punishments for not doing the mitzvot. Bet Kvarim nimsiru lebeitin. Beitin divides up. The more chamor punishments in Bitot Beitin get buried in one place, and the less severe punishment of Beitin get buried in another place. She says, Vishama kaver, wherever you're going to be buried, I'll be. I accept that. Miad, Vatere kimita metzedi. And that's when the puzzle comes afterwards. She saw that she was insistent in continuing, and she backed away. That's what we see here. That's the paradigm for conversion, which is that we push back a little bit, but we say that they're insistent, even with the pushback, then we let it go through. Now, Kibel, Malino Tomiyad. If he accepts, we give him a Brit Milah right away. My Daima is a very interesting answer of the Gemara. Shuye mitzvah lo mishayinan. We don't wait with a mitzvah. What do you mean? What mitzvah is there here? There's no mitzvah to convert a ger. So that can't be the mitzvah they're saying that we're going to wait. We don't withhold him from doing mitzvah. That's what it sounds like. If he's ready and he wants it, we're not going to stop him. We want to get him in there so he can do the mitzvot right away. It's a very interesting concept because he's not Jewish yet, but we're still saying that we don't want to tarry because that will stop him from doing the mitzvot. Nishtaru bo tzitzim ha-makvim et ha-milah, kidetnan. What are tzitzim ha-makvim?
So that we have in the Gemara on Shabbat, discuss what tzitzit me'akvimah, ilu en tzitzit me'akvimah mila, basar chufeh et rov ha'tarah. That is, if you have skin around the most of the crown. The crown, as Rashi describes now, is in the male organ at the tip, it starts to descend. From the point that it starts to descend, that is called the atarah. So if you have skin that is on the robe of that area, that is makev. Veinu chel b'chumah. And somebody who has that does not consider to have a brit milah, he can't eat chumah. Obviously, it's not by a ger, because a ger doesn't eat chumah anyway, but it's by a kohen. If you don't have a proper brit milah, then he can't eat chumah. Don't say that it means around the robe of the circumference. It's not just about the circumference. You would have thought robe means around the circumference. It even means robe in terms of the height, meaning from front to back. Along that, if you have robe of a skin along a section there, that's enough to be makev the milah. It doesn't have to go around robe of the circumference of the atarah, even if it's just from the beginning of the atarah back towards where the atarah starts. If that robe is covered by skin, that's enough to be problematic. Nitrape matbidlino tomiyat. Once he's healed, we put him in the mikveh right away. Nitrape in, lo nitrape lo. If he's healed, then yes. If he's not healed, no. My taima. Mishum demaya marzumaka. Because water is detrimental to the wound. It causes problems for the wound. I mean, today we know it could cause infections. It's really a big problem. So we wait until he's healed properly, and then we let him into the mikveh. So that's what the Gemara says here. Know that it's a serious issue. It's not just, yeah, wait. It's wait because there are health issues here, and we don't want him to be injured or the wound to be affected by going to the mikveh. So we wait for him to be fully healed, and then we put him into the mikveh. And again, that goes back to what we discussed yesterday, that halachic issue with mal velo taval. What is the status of that individual in that interim stage? Shnei tamri chachamim odim al-gabav. This is what I mentioned before. Amar Rabbi Chiya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ger tzarich shlosha. What do you mean, two? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Tana Tanei, shlosha. Rabbi Yochanan also said, amen, this braita to read three and not two. Meaning that this braita is not correct. This braita is not correct by saying two. You have to amend it to say three. Tabal v'alari, v'yisrael d'chol d'rav, l'may hilchuta. What does it mean? He's a Jew when he walks out of there. Tehi hodor bei. Then if he retracts it, if he goes back on it, umikadesh bat Yisrael, and then has kiddushin with a Jewish girl, Yisrael mumar karinin bei, he becomes an Yisrael mumar, v'kiddushav kiddushin. That at this point, he's a full-fledged Jew, and if he goes back to his old ways, it's not just that, okay, he wasn't a ger, he didn't convert. No, if he goes back at that point in time, he becomes an Yisrael mumar. He's a full-fledged Jew that's not keeping the mitzvah, the equivalent of Yisrael mumar. Just like by Yisrael mumar, who gives kiddushin, his kiddushin are a good kiddushin, he need a get from them. So too, his kiddushim over here will also be, in terms of this, good kiddushim, and therefore, we will have to worry about it, and she'll have to get a get from him. He becomes a full-fledged Jew at that moment. Doesn't matter what he does after that point in time, he'll be like a Jew that doesn't keep the mitzvot. He'll be called a Yisrael mumar. Keeps the mitzvot, he'll be considered a full Yisrael. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots at the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Bet, because this sugya continues into tomorrow's daf.